Welcome back to Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming online at www.ijpr.org. I'm Eric Thiel. We've got more live music for a Friday afternoon. My guest here in the JPR studios is Carrie Rodriguez. Welcome.
Howdy. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Carrie, you are one of how many musicians that seemingly come out of Austin, Texas?
Thousands, Eric.
It's crazy how many folks originate from Austin. You came from a musical family? Your dad played music? What kind of music?
Yeah, my dad is a folk singer, songwriter, and he kind of came up in the Houston folk scene in the 70s. He used to play with people like Towns Van Zandt and Nancy Griffith and Lyle Lovett, as a friend of his. So I definitely was exposed to really good quality music as a young child. But, you know, my mother is also an artist. She's a painter, and my grandmother's a writer, so there were just a lot of very talented artists around me.
And you started playing pretty young, right? You were like five when you started playing fiddle? Or violin, I guess, at the time?
Yes, we should call it the violin. Yeah. I was five, and I started taking Suzuki violin lessons at my public elementary school. They were offering Suzuki violin lessons to kindergarten students, which is so cool. I think they only had funding for 1 year, but very lucky that I was there that year.
And sometime very early on, you had an opportunity to see one of the greats, Itzhak Perlman.
Yes, that year. As soon as I had started taking the violin lessons, my mother took me to see Itzhak, and we had terrible seats. We had the cheap seats in the back of the house, but we spied two seats on the front row, and at intermission, they were empty, and at intermission, we ran down there, stole the seats, and I just remember being so incredibly mesmerized by him, his whole persona. I think at the end, he did some kind of encore, probably Paganini Caprice, yeah. And I got so excited that I actually stood up in the middle and started clapping, which must have been very embarrassing to my mother. But I remember thinking that night, this is what I want to do. I want to be just like him.
And you stayed with it for quite a while, right? A classical violin all the way through college?
Through my first year of college. Okay. Yeah, that was a real turning point for me.
Why? What happened?
Well, I left Texas to go to school. I went to Oberlin Conservatory in Ohio, very serious music school, and I found that I was spending a lot of time sitting in my dorm room and listening to Willie Nelson and Lyle Lovett and Hank Williams and playing along instead of practicing my Tchaikovsky in the practice room. So that was my first clue that something was awry.
Were you thinking at the time that you were going to be a soloist or an ensemble player as a classical violinist?
Well, the reality, I think, I already knew what the reality was. I mean, you know, it's classical music is such a tough field. I mean, there's so few positions. I think I hoped to get a symphony job, but I probably imagined myself being more of a teacher because there are even so few symphony openings.
So in addition to discovering that you were spending your time listening to these recordings, was there a moment where you just veered away from classical music as a focus of study?
Well, yeah, about halfway through that year, Lyle Lovett, who is a family friend of my father's, invited me to a show in Cleveland. He was playing there, and he knew I was going to school at Oberlin. And he said, Carrie, bring your axe. You know, I'd love to hear you play. He'd never heard me play. So I brought my axe. And, you know, I tried really learning his songs. I think his record out that at that time was a Road to Ensenada. So I'm playing along, and I get to their sound check, and he's got his full band, his large band with him. And he says, well, come sit in with us on this swing number. And I got up there and took a terrible solo on like a really fast Western swing tune, just ate it. And, I just put my head down and was very embarrassed. But I watched the band, you know, get ready for the show. I was so impressed with his fiddle player. And at the end of the show that night, I said, you know, I just want to do what she's doing. I want to figure out how to do that. I don't know how to do it, but I want to learn. So
from that point to, I don't know how many years later, how long did it take you to undo all of that classical style of playing to become accomplished at playing in more of a Western swing, a country, a triple A singer-songwriter style?
Oh, man.
I mean, it's obviously an ongoing process for all musicians to continue to learn and grow. But at what point did you decide, okay, I probably have managed to transition out of the classical world?
I would say even, I then switched to the Berklee College of Music. And, you know, you can study different styles of fiddle there. But even 3 years there, I think I still had a lot of classical non-grooving in me. And it probably took getting out on the road. I mean, my first gig was with Chip Taylor, and I was a fiddle player in his band, and I had to really figure that out. So I think it was just getting out there and playing gigs that helped me. And of course, nowadays, I'm trying to get my classical chops back into my playing. I miss the good tone and, you know, playing in tune. So.
Carrie Rodriguez is my guest live in the JPR studios. Let's hear some music. First, though, who have you brought in with you today?
Sure. I've got Luke Jacobs on the acoustic guitar.
Welcome. What are you going to play first?
We'll start with the leading cut on the new record. This is called Devil in Mine. What you gonna do? You got something in mind? You got a little time for a girl just passing through? A girl just passing through. Tell me, honey, what you gonna play? Can you play that thing? Can you do it till you bring me back to another day? To the heat of another day? Devil in mind, devil in mind. Everybody got a little devil in mind. Devil in mind, stealing you blind. Everybody got a little devil in mind. Well, I hear, baby, that you own this town, and I can't see why you trouble when the sun goes down. Trouble when the sun goes down. So come on, come on, whisper in my ear. Give me one more sip of that Baltimore lady. Let's get on out of here. Let's get on out of here. Devil in mind, devil in mind. Everybody got a little devil in mind. Devil in mind. Yeah, scaring me half to death. So come on, come on, who just closed the door? Give me one more sip of that Baltimore. Give me one more sip of that Baltimore. Give me one more sip of that Baltimore lady. Let's get out on the floor. Let's get out on the floor. Devil in mind, devil in mind. Everybody got a little.
So, Carrie, you ended up moving from Oberlin to Berkeley.
Yes.
Studied with Matt Glaser, who you mentioned briefly. And I was telling you before we went on the air that I was just rewatching that great documentary on jazz that Ken Burns did. And Matt Glaser is one of the primary narrators of that entire series. Seems to be a pretty interesting fellow, very, very deeply involved in music.
He is.
What was he teaching you? What was the classes that he offered?
Well, he was my private teacher, and I suppose it was jazz violin was the main focus. Yeah, I mean, Matt is such a music scholar. He knows about every style of music that has ever been played on the violin. But yeah, he turned me on to some of the earliest, you know, jazz violin players like Steph Smith and Stefan Grappelli, who Matt actually knew and got to work with. But yeah, I was telling you this earlier, Eric, but one of the first things Matt said to me when I went in for my first violin lesson at Berkeley was, he said, "Carrie, wow, you are a fantastic violinist, beautiful, but man, you have absolutely no groove whatsoever."
So he kind of reinforced what you learned trying to solo on the song, right, with Lyle Lovett.
Exactly. It was just a series of soul-sucking. happenings. But no, it was really good for me. I knew it, and it did help me. You know, I think I spent a lot of time when I was at Berkeley just playing along with other people's records and trying to, you know, figure out what they were doing in hopes that I'd find my own groove one day.
I read somewhere where you were talking about the fact that you were interested or at least assuming that you would finish school and end up being a sideman with bands. Yeah. Not a leader, not a solo singer-songwriter.
No.
Playing in other bands. Right?
I had no interest in... I mean, I never sang a note until my early 20s. I mean, in fact, at Berkeley, I took a class because I thought it would be an easy A called Singing for Non-Vocalists. And actually, I made a C on my first midterm. I was terrible. So I thought, wow, well, I can't sing. I never really wanted to be that front person. I enjoyed kind of hiding behind my violin and just being on the side and supporting somebody. I really like that.
Well, that's kind of gone away now, hasn't it?
It's totally gone out the window.
Shortly after college is when you first met Chip Taylor?
Yeah.
It was like a South by Southwest or something in Austin?
Yeah, it was in my first year out of school. I was back in Austin and playing a gig with a guy who called himself Hay Bale. Chip came out to see us and he asked me, oh, are you available for gigs? And, you know, started hiring me to play fiddle in his band.
As a sideman.
As a side.
Perfect, right?
Woman, I guess we should say.
Yeah, side woman. So at what point did you finally decide to start singing? Was it somebody that asked you to or somebody encouraged you to?
It was all Chip. You know, when he first started hiring me, he said, can you sing backup? Can you sing some harmony? I said, man, I'll do my best.
I'll give you a solid C.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Eric. So he just put a mic up in front of me, and I very shyly sang a few notes, you know, on a few tunes. And for some reason, Chip liked something he heard. And our first long tour, which was, I believe, in Sweden and Holland or something like that, he said, now, Carrie, I want to do a duet in the middle of our show. It's going to be a big dramatic moment. I'm going to lower the microphone down and you're going to sing a verse. I'm going to sing a verse. And so I said, wow, Chip, that's crazy, but I'll do my best. And that's it. After that first time, Chip was convinced we needed to do more of that. And we ended up putting out a duet record within that first 6 months.
And that partnership ended up going on 10 years or so. What did you put out? 4, 5, 6 albums?
Yeah, it seems like that should have taken 10 years. I think we did that in about 5, and we're still, you know, we still work together. But yeah, for 5 years, we put out records and toured all the time.
So at that time, when you joined him making music together, you were playing fiddle, you were doing a little singing. Mm-hmm. Were you doing much songwriting yet?
No, I mean, I had never even thought of it. And I think because also my dad is this sort of heavyweight Texas songwriter, very serious, I don't know, it always intimidated me. I thought, well, that's what he does. And my identity is, I'm an instrumentalist. I play the violin, and I don't have what it takes to write songs.
But something must have rubbed off over those years?
Let's hope so. You know, my songs are quite different from my father's, too, though. You know, I think part of it is just finding your own voice, you know, finding what your strong suits are. And I tend to love the most simple songs. I love songs with simple language. I mean, John Prine is one of my all-time favorites for that reason. It was Chip Taylor who brought it out of me. I mean, Chip said, well, Kara, we've made one record together. For our next one, I think we should co-write some songs. And when you have the guy who wrote Wild Things saying, hey, write a song with me, you just say yes.
And you go along with it.
Do it.
It's Carrie Rodriguez live in the JPR studios. The new album is called Give Me All You Got. But now you're going to play something, what, not on the new album, right?
Yeah. In honor of getting to open up for John Prine, I thought we should play a John Prine song. He is one of my favorites, and I love this song. This is called Unwed Fathers.
In an Appalachian Greyhound station, she sits there waiting in a family way. Goodbye, brother. Tell Ma I love her. Tell all the others I'll write someday. From a teenage lover to an unwed mother, kept crept under cover like some bad dream. Well, unwed fathers, they can't be bothered. They run like water from a mountain stream. Cold and gray tan, the nurses lay down. This ain't a playground, and this ain't home. There's someone's children out having children in a gray stone building, and they're all teenage lover to an unwed mother kept under cover like some bad dream. Well, unwed fathers, they can't be bothered. They run like water from a mountain stream. Somewhere else bound, Smoky Mountain Greyhound, she bows her head down in a lullaby.
No, your daddy never meant to hurt you ever. You just don't live here, but you've got his eyes. From a teenage lover
to an unwed mother kept under cover like some bad dream. Well, unwed fathers, they can't be bothered. They run like water from a mountain stream. Yeah, they run like water from a mountain stream.
That is Carrie Rodriguez and Luke Jacobs live in the JPR studios. Also streaming online, www.ijpr.com. .org. So Carrie, is it true that you come up with song ideas when you're out running?
Oh, I did. Yeah. Well, on my on the new record, there's a tune I wrote called Brooklyn that just came to me on a jog, and I remember thinking in my head, "Wow, this is strange. This is going to be a real strange one." And I got home and tried it out with an instrument, and it was confirmed that it was extremely strange.
You know, I've watched a number of videos of you on stage over the years, and you've got kind of an unusual assortment of instruments. I mean, fiddle is your primary, but you've got like a little electric four-string guitar that you play sometimes and a big hollow body. You were telling me it was a tenor guitar?
Right, just anything with four strings. I'm too lazy to move to six, Eric. It's tough.
Do you tune them all the same way?
No, I have a lot of different tunings that I use. Yeah, and the tenor guitar, it's a fun instrument, you know? I mean, sometimes I tune it like a fiddle. Sometimes I tune it in these weird open tunings. If you come out to the show tonight, you'll probably hear one of the open tunings that I do a song called Seven Angels In. Maybe one day when I have some time off, I'll start working on that six-string guitar. Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, when we started, we were talking about musicians from Austin, or musicians, I guess, in Austin. As an Austin native, how much change has there been to the Austin scene over the years? Mm. I mean, it's considered such a musician's mecca now with all of these amazing bands and individuals coming out of there, but has it changed a lot over the years?
It really has. And I haven't been there, you know, for the whole time. I left, you know, went to school in Boston, and I actually lived in New York City for almost 10 years. Just moved back 3 years ago, but really, moving back there has been like moving to a different city. I mean, Austin is kind of a boom town right now. So many people are moving there from other countries, from all over this country. And I think the result with music is that we just have a lot more diversity. I mean, there are really cool indie rock bands coming out of Austin now. There's metal. You know, it used to be singer-songwriters, folk musicians, and country and blues, you know, people. So I think it's great, you know, that we just have more of them and more diversity, and still, you know, tons of places to play, and people in Austin really do support live music.
Is it getting more challenging to land gigs?
Well, we don't play in Austin that much. I mean, we do maybe 2 shows a year because we're on the road, you know, all the time. So we just do kind of special shows for bigger events, maybe CD release. But there are people, I mean, people like, for example, Alejandro Escovedo, when he's not on the road, he plays a weekly gig at the Continental, and I think there are lines around the block to get in. I don't think it's tougher for him, yeah. So I think the more the merrier down there.
Junior Brown's got a regular gig, too, I think, just about every week, right? For
and
years and years.
James McMurtry does the same thing. I'm just lazy. I come home and I want to take naps and go to the grocery store and cook and go to bed early.
It's Kerry Rodriguez live in the JPR studios. The new album out on 9th Street Opus is called Give Me All You Got. Thanks so much for coming in today and talking with us.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Do you mind playing us one more to go out?
We would love to.
What are you going to do?
We'll do this one from the new record, and it's called I Cry for Love. I bend, I don't break. If I won't, I just take. If I cut, I bleed. If I bleed, I don't cry. Don't cry, don't cry. I cry for love. I cry for love. If I fall, I get up. Am I tough, tough enough? Well, I bend, I don't break. If I won't, I just take. If I cut, I bleed. If I bleed, I don't cry. Don't cry, I don't cry. Don't cry, don't cry. I cry for love. Cry for love.
That is Kerry Rodriguez and Luke Jacobs live in the JPR studios. Music from the new album called Give Me All You Got. Kerry, Luke, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Eric.